I am honored to present our beginning presentation, which is Brief Refresher, Update on Selling Avoidance Actions. Our esteemed panelists are Allison Byman. She is a Chapter 7 trustee in the Southern District of Texas who was appointed in 2012. She represents, in addition to being a Chapter 7 panel trustee, Chapter 11 trustees, other Chapter 7 trustees, committees, creditors and debtors in bankruptcy and financial restructuring matters. She's also the founder of Byman & Associates. Our other esteemed panelist is An Nguyen. He is currently the clerk to the Honorable Christopher G. Bradley. He's also been in private practice in both firms in Austin as well as in Chicago. He is a graduate of the University of Illinois College of Law. With that, I cede the floor.
Thank you. Thanks for waking up early. Thanks for waking up early to come to our talk. We're going to give you a talk today about the Fifth Circuit South Coast decision and provide provide a refresher on avoidance actions. We'll set the landscape, discuss the case, and talk about some of the practical implications that are raised in the Fifth Circuit's opinion. When our topic was first presented to both An and I, we were a little bit confused that this was an issue. I have been selling avoidance actions for a long time, since I became a trustee, and actually one of the very first cases I worked on as a baby lawyer was prosecuting preferences that my non-debtor client had purchased out of a bankruptcy. Even then, I remember some of the defenses that were raised or questions that were raised on how we had standing and what right we had to the recoveries. But I had a good old bankruptcy court sale order and the code behind me, and I pursued them. And that was a long time ago, longer than being a trustee. So realizing that the Fifth Circuit has just ruled on this, like I said, was surprising. Likely, probably falls under that category of this is so common you can't find an appeals case on the matter. And I think that's likely what the district court was signaling here when they told the Fifth Circuit, we don't have any guidance. we know this is, or we hope this is the right answer, but there is no guidance. Those are obviously frustrating situations to find yourself in, and here we are with a solution. So really, what is the issue in South Coast? An will cover the specifics of the case and what was addressed. I wanted to set the scene for you with a quick refresher, as our topic promised. So when we're talking about avoidance actions, we're looking at the causes of action in Chapter 5. I mean, in 547, 548, 544. Preferences, fraudulent transfers, and unauthorized post-petition transfers. There's also the state law equivalents that are addressed as well. South Coast applied to the sale of preferences specifically and led to the broader result regarding all avoidance actions. So we're going to cover them. 547 is your preference cause of action, and obviously you're looking at payments or transfers that were made in the 90 days before the bankruptcy was filed, or 1 year, you have a 1 year look back if the payments or transfers were made to an insider of the debtor. The causes of action are uniquely created in the bankruptcy code. They're meant to equalize the recoveries to creditors out of the bankruptcy distribution. The trustee or debtor is allowed to seek the clawback and return of the money that was transferred. The transfers have to have been made on account of antecedent debt. So this can't be a contemporaneous exchange of money that was made or a prepaid purchase. The transfer has to have been made while the debtor was insolvent. There's also a presumption of insolvency. And the creditor has to receive more than they otherwise would have received in a Chapter 7. As I'm sure everyone is aware, these causes of action drive vendors mad. They're just absolutely mortified that this exists. It adds insult to injury. In the vast majority of the cases where you're making a preference demand, these creditors are owed a huge amount of money by the debtor, and you want to take back the little bit that they received. I try to keep that in mind when writing my preference demand letters. Like, this is just statutory. I'm just required to do this, and this is just the way it goes. And we're just following the code, but it still stings. And the defenses are available to try to soften the blow a little bit. You know, you're going to look at what was the ordinary course of business between the recipient of the transfer and the debtor.
what was it on paper, what was it in practice, and also look at how much value was transferred after the last payment or transfer from the debtor.